From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here saying hello and welcome once again to the program. It's always a privilege to be behind the microphone for another time, bringing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if the Lord Jesus bearing our sin is not the gospel, then we have no gospel to preach, because the heart of the gospel is redemption. And the very essence of redemption is the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So, whenever we preach Christ crucified, and we do that when we preach the gospel, we have no reason to stutter or stammer or make any apology, for there's nothing in the gospel of which we are ashamed. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. It's my prayer that as you listen to God's word today, as you hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will come to know Him and come to trust in Him as your Lord and Savior. Letting the Bible Speak is the Reverend Ivan Foster, and here he is.
Hello, everyone. Now, one of the benefits of doing a program like this is that you get to play your favorite hymns and your favorite singers. And I make no apologies for being a great admirer of the late Jack Halcombe. And here he is singing a glorious gospel hymn. I hope that you enjoy it. I certainly will.
I was drifting away on life's pitiless sea, and the angry waves threaten my ruin to be. When away at my side, there I dimly descry a stately old vessel, and loudly I cried, "Ship ahoy! Captain commanded a boat to be lowered, and in tender compassion he took me on board. And I'm singing today, all my sins washed away in the blood of my Savior, and now
Yeah! Now, wouldn't that thrill your soul? Do you know, the words are so marvellous that I think if even I sang that hymn, you would enjoy it. But we'll not just put that to the test, lest I get banned from the airwaves altogether. Oh, how glorious it is that Jesus saves. Now let us turn to the Gospel of Mark, the chapter 3 and the verse 13. We'll return to our study of this portion of Scripture. Verse 13, let's read it together. And he goeth up into a mountain, and he called unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12, that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James. And he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. And Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him, and they went into an house. Our subject this morning is the ordination of the apostles and the sending of them forth to preach. This is rather a mysterious realm as far as many people are concerned. There are many who really know nothing about how men are called to the ministry and how they are ordained and what is involved. It's rather a mysterious thing. But there's no mystery about how the Savior went about this matter. And of course, how he went about it is how today those who profess to be Christians and those that profess to be churches go about this matter. Let's see how he did it. First and foremost, in the verse 13 we read, he goeth up into a mountain, and he called unto him whom he would. What is a minister? Well, first and foremost, he is one that Christ has chosen by his sovereign will. Those that Christ made apostles were selected by him. By him, I say. And he called them. They heard his call. They responded to his call. A minister is someone who is saved, a follower of the Lord Jesus, first and foremost, that's where it starts, and then specifically he receives a call to the ministry. I want you to notice, secondly, where this event took place. It was on a mountain. It says, he goeth up into a mountain. Into a mountain. Why does it say that? There must be something significant about it, otherwise it would not be stated here, it would not be recorded. I think that as you look at the Bible's records of mountains, you will discover that there is a very important place for mountains in the grand purpose of God. Let me just remind you of one or two mountains. First of all, there was Mount Sinai, and that's where the law of God was given. God came down upon Mount Sinai, and through Moses, the law was given to Israel, and from Israel it was given to the world. Then again, it was on Mount Calvary that the Lord Jesus was crucified for the salvation of sinners. And there's another mountain that will yet figure very prominently in the affairs of the world. I'm reading from the book of Zechariah and the chapter 14, and we're reading from verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem. That day? That's the day of his return. These words refer to the advent of Christ. And the one who ascended up from the Mount of Olives will return again to the Mount of Olives. So mountains play a very important place and part in the great revelation and the great scheme of things in God's purpose. And here we find the Saviour going up into a mountain. Doubtless those apostles would thus have been solemnized. They would have remembered the giving of the law and the instructions that God set before men on that great day. O men and women, I say to you that this is a most solemn sight as we look upon the Saviour preparing his men to send them forth into the world. Who was it that he called? Well, all I can say, he called a mixture of individuals. There are a mixture of age groups found here. John was but a teenager, we would think, and if he wasn't a teenager, he was not far from being a teenager, having only entered his 20s. The other men, some of them, were much older than that. What a mixture of skills there were. What a mixture of personalities and backgrounds there were. Some were fishermen. Some, like Matthew, for instance, followed an entirely different trade. He had been a tax collector. But such are those that God calls. None of them would have attracted the world's attention in and of themselves, but these were the men who turned the world upside down. You will notice also that they exercised their ministry by the power of God, for it says that he sent them forth to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. Men who serve God do not have power in and of themselves. Their power comes from Christ and from Christ alone. And preachers must ever bear that in mind and ever be on their knees seeking the anointing and blessing of God. One thing in closing, there was one who was not genuine, one who turned out to be a traitor. At the end of the day, it is still so. Among the ranks of professing Christians, there are those who have no genuine heart conversion to Christ. Among the occupants of the pulpits of the land, there are those who are false, who have no more an interest in the cause of the Lord Jesus than did Judas. Let us beware of superficial religion. Let us beware of surface Christianity. But let our hearts be right with God. Let us search and check and see that we are truly converted. May God bless you today as you have listened to his word, and may you take heed to it.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.